252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. At least seven people are dead after a Palestinian gunman opened fire outside a synagogue in East Jerusalem. This is what's going on outside there. Happened today on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Doug Emhoff, the first Jewish spouse of a sitting vice president, today visited the former Auschwitz concentration camp. The Justice Department is looking into the arrest and death of a black man, Tyre Nichols, while in police custody. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Once again, we grapple with the fact that fatal encounters with law enforcement are disparately impacting brown and black people.
Memphis police expected to release body cam video of the arrest tonight. Another graphic video just released shows the attack on the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was beaten and severely injured by a man with a hammer last year.
I have not seen the break-in, and I have absolutely no intention of seeing the deadly assault on my husband's life.
This is ABC News. Bed Bath Beyond in bankruptcy. The chain's filed for Chapter 11 with the SEC, saying it could no longer repay its creditors and that there was substantial doubt that it could stay in business. The company reported a 33% drop in sales in early January. Not long after recovering from injuries, more injuries.
Jay Leno was in a pretty serious motorcycle accident last week, telling the Las Vegas Review-Journal that he got knocked off his bike, broke his collarbone and two ribs, and cracked both kneecaps. He says he was cutting through a parking lot and didn't notice a wire strung across the entrance, and it clotheslined him, knocking him off the bike, and the bike kept going. He says he's okay and will be on stage in Las Vegas this weekend. The accident comes after Leno was severely burned in November while working on one of his cars in his garage. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
A green comet last seen 50,000 years ago, zooming our way. It'll be easily visible across the northern hemisphere on a clear night through next Thursday. The green-colored comet will make its closest approach to Earth. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Dozens of vehicles involved in a pileup shutting down part of Interstate 3990 between Janesville and Beloit this afternoon. Crews and officials expect a long and slow cleanup. The State Patrol says it happened around 12:30 this afternoon during whiteout conditions. A steady shower of wet snow was falling all morning. We don't know yet how many people might have been hurt or how badly. The State Justice Department is suing the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, alleging the agency offered a woman less pay than men with similar qualifications. In 2016, Military Affairs offered an internal candidate a job as Wisconsin's head of the Bureau of Response and Recovery. The job listed at $79,000, but they offered her less. A man was eventually hired for the job, and he was paid more than she was offered. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Everyone knows time is money, so don't wait weeks for the IRS to send out your tax refund. Go to Jackson Hewitt instead for up to $3,500 with a no-interest, no-fee tax refund advance loan. With up to $3,500, you could bring home the bacon and bring it home today. Money now instead of later? That's worth its weight in gold. Don't wait weeks for your refund. Go to Jackson Hewitt today. For eligible clients, loans by Republic Bank and Trust Company, details at jacksonhewitt.com.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
And see what incentives are available for you.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you in partnership with MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, you know, we every couple of weeks we get a report from our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, and she's a White Earth Nation, help me with the word here, White Earth Nation.
Member. She's a member of the White Earth Nation in Minnesota.
Yeah, here in Minnesota, and she's the first Native American to hold statewide office. So why don't we take a quick listen to her special report, and then we'll start up the show with the news, and we'll be right back. So let's listen to the Lieutenant Governor.
Buju, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. We just finished rolling out our One Minnesota budget proposal for this legislative biennium. And let me tell you, this is the budget I've been working towards my entire life. Budgets aren't just fiscal documents, they're moral documents. These are the pages where we make it clear what we value and what we invest in. I'll dig in more on specific proposals and investments in the coming weeks, but I wanted to just start here with an overview. First, we rolled out our package focused on making Minnesota the best state in the country for kids. As many of you know, growing up, my mom and I relied on public programs like SNAP, which back in the day we called food stamps, and relied on the child care assistance program so that my mom could have a safe place to bring me while she went back to school and got a better paying job. And I frankly had housing because of a Section 8 housing voucher, and I am alive today because as a kid with asthma, Medicaid was a necessary tool for me to get my medications and really just to stay alive. So I am where I am today, Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, because of those programs, not despite them. And we are committed to helping families like mine and like so many of yours thrive with proposals like a child tax credit that helps parents afford essentials such as paying bills, school expenses, a new pair of shoes, childcare costs. Our proposal offers $1,000 per child up to $3,000 for low-income families and is expected to decrease child poverty in this state by 25%. by that policy alone. Expanding access to quality, affordable child care by investing in a mixed delivery system that creates and sustains child care slots where they're needed most, including in Greater Minnesota. Funding for universal free meals for all students at schools so that every child can learn with a full belly, without stigma, and without question. And if you were a kid with a different colored lunch ticket like I was, this program will make a tremendous difference. We're going to feed our kids, and it's going to be a really good thing. Partnering with tribes and the urban Native community to strengthen and preserve Native families, and so much more. Next, we rolled out our budget package focused on investing in Minnesota's economic and climate future. As a mom of a now 10-year-old daughter, I want my child and every Minnesota child to be able to enjoy the things that make Minnesota, Minnesota, like our clean air and water, our fertile farmable land, our robust and valued workforce, and our vibrant small business economy and community. That's why we propose meaningful investments in providing paid family and medical leave and earned sick and safe time to make sure that no one needs to choose between their health, their family, or their jobs. Connecting high-need workforce sectors with workers and new and growing population of workers with training and family-sustaining wages and jobs. And investing in the clean energy workforce, electric vehicle infrastructure, rehabilitating our land and water and air quality, and building homes and communities that are climate resilient. That's how we build a bright future for ourselves, for our kids, and for our entire state. Thirdly, we rolled out our budget package focused on protecting the health and safety of Minnesotans. Everyone deserves to be safe and protected and valued in their community, no matter who they are or where they live. That's why we proposed $1.5 billion towards a housing stability package to assist our relatives experiencing homelessness, renters, and aspiring first-time homeowners, establishing a Minnesota Care public buy-in option so that folks can access health care, and $300 million to local governments to address their unique public safety needs. And finally, we rolled out our entire budget proposal last Tuesday, and here's just a few highlights. Our direct proposal sends a one-time payment of up to $2,600 directly to Minnesota households. And that matters. These direct cash assistance, right, these direct checks empower families to decide what they need most to make ends meet. So this could be paying first and last month's rent to get into housing, fixing a car, paying off credit card debt, making sure that your children have new shoes that fit, which is something that I understand. And finally, we believe it's time, it is past time to safely legalize adult use cannabis. Prohibition doesn't work. And legalizing adult use cannabis is about our economic future, expanding our economy and creating jobs across the state. It's also about health, allowing us to regulate the industry and to ensure that products are safe, and educating the public about the facts of cannabis use. And it's about public safety, allowing law enforcement to focus on violent crime and expunging the records of people who are convicted of nonviolent offenses involving cannabis to give them a second chance. I know that's a long list, and there's even more that we'll be discussing in the coming weeks and months, but as just a sneak peek, I wanted to also name that our One Minnesota budget does a lot to support tribal nations and tribal communities. In fact, altogether, the budget recommends over $7 billion in proposals and investments that advance shared state and tribal priorities, and I cannot wait to share more of those with you here in the coming weeks. There's a lot of good stuff in this budget, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope that you are too. We can reduce child poverty, we can invest in each other and in our future, and we can make sure that everyone has an opportunity in this state. In many ways, this budget is why the governor and I decided to run in the first place. And now we can do it, but we're also going to need your help. This session is the session to let your local legislator know how you feel about these investments and to let them know why our community is deserving of these investments too. So we can do things for short term for our families and for our children, and then build for the long term to ensure that future generations of our children have every opportunity in Minnesota, Makoche, Chimiguich, Pinagigi, and back to you.
Well, thanks, Lieutenant Governor. What a great update there, Ogama. I really like the part about expunging, or is that the right word? I couldn't think
expunging.
I couldn't think of members, so expunging the cannabis people that are low-end crimes that have to do with marijuana. That sounds really exciting, and that's the right direction.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And, you know, we do know that prohibition of those things doesn't work. And there's, you know, some safe ways for that to be legalized. And I'm excited for that as well. There's I think it's been long overdue here in Minnesota. But, you know, what really excites me is I'm a parent. I've got two girls. And, you know, a lot of this is reminiscent of things that I was told about Minnesota when I was a kid. I was told it was a great place to have children. And we were doing really well in the education sector and those kinds of things. And it's good to hear that we're going to be coming back around to that.
Well, and it's great. We have the privilege to have the Lieutenant Governor stop in every couple weeks to give us an update. I feel really honored and blessed. And we got a jam-packed show, Ogama. You're going to do the news here in the second. And then we got some rock star guests here talking about water is life, as always, what we do here in Native Roots Radio. So, hey, we're going to do the news next, and we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit. COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, a big sponsor of us for over the years, and boy, we support them, Ogama, and they're the leaders, I want to say, one of the leaders of the February 14th March MMIW, that there's a lot of groups that come in, but they're one of the big leaders, Ogama.
Yeah, I think they're like the hosting group, too. They're the ones that kind of organize and do the permitting and all of that stuff for the MMIW March on Red Dress Day, February 14th every year. And we're really excited to have them continue to be, you know, an ongoing sponsor for us and to be available to kind of uplift that's happening in person again this year. That is so exciting to have that back after, was it 2 years off, Robert, from COVID?
Yeah. I think it was three, but yeah, because they didn't have it last year either.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
it's a blur to me. And also, you can tell my vocabulary is not working. So thanks for jumping in and explaining what the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition does with that parade. And it's kind of hard to say that it's a parade, but it is a gathering, and there's speeches beforehand, and there's some really heavy duty stuff with people that are still missing their relatives, and there's signs with faces and names that are still missing out there, and it's an epidemic. And since the beginning of the year, I read, Ogama, that in South Dakota there's 30 natives already that are missing.
I would believe it. Unfortunately, that's, as a native person, as a native woman, that's not unbelievable. It's absolutely not something that is stomachable, but unfortunately, right, that is where we're at in the MMIW. Here in Minnesota, we've been privileged that we've had our legislators take the time to create an Office of Missing and Murdered Indigenous People, women especially. But you know, a big reason that we have some of those problems are these huge extractive industry projects, like the one that came through Minnesota in 2020 and 2021, the Line 3 mm-hmm. construction project done by Enbridge. And tonight we have a couple of people from Wadukawad Amikwag, those who help Beaver, joining us to talk about some of those damages that we're seeing here in northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We have Jamie Gaither, who is an ally water protector with Wadukawad Amikwag. And we also have Victoria Migizikwe McMillan. It looks like Victoria's screen is loading right now. The sometimes our guests always have a little bit of internet stuff. But welcome to you both from Wadukawad Amikwag. And Jamie, if you want to go ahead and give everybody your introduction.
Oh, she's got sign language going on. You're on mute, and I got to get my coffee cup that Ogma gifted me a long time ago. You're still on mute. You're still on mute. She's can't read her lips there.
There's a mute button down at the bottom. It looks like a little microphone in the white box. Is it unmuting for you if you click there? Oh. Victoria, maybe you want to start with your introduction. Can you hear us right over there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can. Hi, welcome.
Can see ya.
Oh, yeah. Bonjour. Ndinawe Margaretuk. Migizikwe Ndijikaz. Nagachu Nung Ndunjba. Migizi Nindudim Ndigo Benesi. Nagachu Nung Ndunjba. Geez, I've never been on the radio before, so thanks for having me. Wadukawad Amikwag is a citizen science group, volunteer citizens of Minnesota that just get together and we talk on Zoom once a week. And we have drone operators, we have geologists and hydrologists and other scientists with us, and indigenous knowledge keepers, band members. And we all just work together to monitor the Line 3 project. So we've been doing that for quite some time now. Jamie would have better dates. I've only been with the group for about the last 6 months. But in that time, I've seen a lot of drone data that's really, just really concerning, because from the reporting we're getting in the public, you know, we're not getting much other than a few aquifer breaches, when really there's been a lot of unexplained disruptions that our infrared drones are picking up on. And we're only a small group of non-funded citizen scientists. You know, we're only going out there when we can. So we only get to a few sites and we only get to monitor so much. But if we had help, and we've been asking the state and federal agencies for help, we've been showing them the data and asking them for more help and in relation to what we've been doing in monitoring, so that we can get a better idea of what's actually happening in Minnesota with the aquifer breaches. We're losing lots of underground water every year. I mean, every day.
Right.
Jamie has the statistics on that.
Jamie, are you able to, can you speak and say something?
Yeah, I hope so.
Hey, there you are. We got you now. Hey, welcome, Jamie. And boy, we're talking about, citizen detectives here, and we should probably talk in a way to support you. This is, I know we had a lot of reports in the beginning when this was still being worked on, meaning line three, of all these punctures and things that were shooting up, and it's crazy. So go ahead and introduce yourself and welcome.
Oh, miigwech. Jamie Gaither, Indigenous Cause, Nawin Imbagi, Nang Indunjiba, Nawakwa and Nungum, Besho, Gawa Babiganika, Minawa, Ishbeminoman, Zage Ganing, Minawa, Enbridge, Line 393, Chimukamanakwe and Dao. And I introduce myself in the language of the people of this land because I have found that it has helped me to more fully understand the culture and the people of this land and Mother Earth herself. And I really am appreciative of the inclusivity that I've found in the Anishinaabe, and just really grateful to be a welcome part of the language learning community. So what I said in Ojibwemoan was, my name is Jamie Gaither. I'm a settler colonizer. I come from the Midwest, and I live now in the middle of the forest near White Earth Reservation and Upper Rice Lake. And my husband and I are abutters to the Line 393 pipeline here in Clearwater County. So, yeah, there's been so much that we've seen over this little over a year that this group has been together looking at these disturbances. And we're very grateful to our partners, White Earth Reservation, Rise Coalition, Honor the Earth, MN350, and Sierra Club all were a part of providing a thermal flyover in November of last year that has found these dozens of upwellings all along the corridor. And now our team is basically just trying to go out there and document what's happening so that we can make sure Enbridge is accountable to fix the land. There are places where we don't believe that they can really fix the land. And we're glad to talk to you in specifics about a couple of the places here nearby where I live that we've been watching really closely.
Yeah, I would love to get into that. And we have plenty of time with you too. And we really appreciate you guys coming on this last minute here. And one of the things, am I able to, or any of our listeners all over Wisconsin, we're on civic media, we're in the Twin Cities, and of course online, and Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and all those other platforms. Is there a place where I could go, a website, to see these videos or see these maps?
So we are getting ready. We are seconds away from issuing a website for everybody to be able to access a lot more information. Right now, the best place to go is our YouTube channel. We have lots of video there. I have some video. There are playlists. There's a lot of Honor the Earth and IEN and Rise and Mukwa Initiative, all kinds of video on our playlists. So don't forget to check out our playlists. They're specific to aquifer breaches, frack outs, and just rights of nature, and etc. So you can find exactly what you're looking for. And we have breakouts from, in November we did the webinar and we had almost 200 people there wanting to know about what we were finding. And then in an evening Q&A we had 100 people. So this is definitely something that is on the public's radar. We are hearing all the time from people who want to know more. And so our website will be issuing soon, and we're hopeful that by Valentine's Day we can give you that sweet gift of having a lot more places where you can see maps, details of the geology, details of these specific places that we're seeing damaged, and the damages are continuing. Walker Brook has been a big site of interest up here for some time, and it looks like they may be finishing their fix. I do not know whether this fix that they've put in place is going to work, but they look like they're starting to clear out, and we're seeing less water pumping from the Red River of the North watershed up to the Mississippi watershed over that Laurentian Divide. So we can talk a lot more about that in the next sections. I'm really excited to be here with you guys and hoping to hear more from Victoria.
Yeah, definitely. And we are too. Thank you too, both, so much for coming on, because this is stuff that, with our 30-second attention span, people forget about, and we haven't, and I'm glad you guys are doing the work that you're doing, so we're excited to hear some more stuff. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and We're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. At least seven people are dead after a Palestinian gunman opened fire outside a synagogue in East Jerusalem. This is what's going on outside there. It happened today on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Doug Emhoff, the first Jewish spouse of a sitting vice president, today visited the former Auschwitz concentration camp. The Justice Department is looking into the arrest and death of a black man, Tyree Nichols, while in police custody. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Once again, we grapple with the fact that fatal encounters with law enforcement are disparately impacting brown and black people.
Memphis police expected to release body cam video of the arrest tonight. Another graphic video just released shows the attack on the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was beaten and severely injured by a man with a hammer last year.
I have not seen the break-in, and I have absolutely no intention of seeing the deadly assault on my husband's life.
This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane McNair. Here's what you need to know. Republicans in the U.S. Senate want spending cuts before they'll raise the debt ceiling. Senator Ron Johnson says they'll look at everything this year, including Social Security and Medicare. Johnson proposed these earned benefits be changed to discretionary spending rather than mandatory. Democrats calling out the GOP for trying to back out of their commitment to seniors and working Americans who've earned the benefits by paying into the system all of their working lives. A little positive news for Wisconsin's farmers. WPR reporting that after years of leading the nation the number of farm bankruptcies, new federal data shows Wisconsin had 10 Chapter 12 bankruptcy cases filed before the end of September last year, down 72% from the same time in 2021 when there were 36 new cases. One possible reason for the decline, farmers got more money from the federal government for pandemic-related programs, but those programs are now ending. I'm Jane McNair for Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Leonard Peltier. I'm in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, and you know, it was hard to go to the commercial there because of emotion and the proud. I'm making up words. The proudness that we have for our representative. It's still hard to believe in one sense. In the last, we're roughly the same age that we're dealing with these good things that are heading our way slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. It is. And again, just to be so grateful and supportive of Representative Keeler for what she's willing to say, what she's willing to do. And, you know, and Commissioner Harstead, Jody Harstead, you know, heard her, had to hear her in that kind of a setting. I've known Jody Harstead for a long time, probably 20 years since she worked for Lutheran Social Service here in my neighborhood. And then as she went on to lead that agency and then shifted into her commissioner position. And I believe her heart's in the right place. And even someone who has the ability to be, or the potential to be, such a strong ally in our community, like Commissioner Harstead, she needs to be nudged, right? She needs to be made aware. She needs to be enlightened, and she needs to hear the truth. So that's, again, yeah, why I'm so grateful that Representative Keeler can do that.
To that point, Robert, I think it's really important, you know, we talk about, you know, sending the governor an email or calling them or any one of our representatives, because they do listen.
And they do listen.
Maybe it was just, you know, giving her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was just, maybe she thought it was just goes without saying, but you know, being there as a representative and representing her district, but also her people and the relationship with the 11 tribes here in Minnesota, she had to speak up.
That's such a good point. And, you know, I know from my time here on the Minneapolis City Council, you know, I had my district, we call them wards, that I technically represented, but as the first and so far only tribal citizen to serve on Minneapolis City Council, I had a huge non-geographic constituency, right? Native people found their way to me, to my office, to elevate their issues. And I took that as a huge privilege and a greater responsibility. So someone who may be in a district, you know, Representative Keeler's district is fairly rural. I mean, there's cities in it and everything, but there are other similarly situated rural representatives or greater Minnesota representatives that don't bear that same burden, right? So she's really needing to step up for, like you said, you know, the 11 tribes here, the scores and scores of Native people who are not from Minnesota tribes who still feel more represented because she's there and able to say those things. And so she's carrying an additional burden, right, that many of her colleagues aren't.
Right. And then before we move on, maybe you can just let our audience, because we get new people listening all the time over civic media, all over Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Dakotas, what ICWA really is and why it's a hot button right now and always been a hot button for us.
Right. And I'm no ICWA expert, but of course it stands for the Indian Child Welfare Act, and it's legislation that specifically identifies measures, means that need to be taken to care for Native children. And what Representative Keeler was referencing there is that here in Minnesota, we have the highest placement of Native children into non-Native households when they're taken into both foster care and adoption. As we know, adoption like that was a key strategy of forced assimilation and the efforts to completely eliminate Native cultures in this country. And so it's a very important and sensitive and hot button issue here, and especially here in Minnesota, where we perform the worst in the nation. And so ICWA is under attack at every level, state level, federal level, right now, Supreme Court level. And so it's very important that we have warriors like Representative Keeler defending it.
Yeah. And my tribe sent me to Washington when they were hearing for ICWA and the Supreme Court. And we know what happened and what they have not hidden their agenda about what's going to happen, the new Supreme Court.
Right. It's not hidden at all, right? And ICWA is just sort of a first domino to fall. It's a way of attacking sovereignty on all levels. And yep. So if ICWA falls, so goes a lot of other federally recognized and protected rights for Native people.
So let's get back to what you were talking a little bit about when we were talking about land back and a little history out there from Alcatraz when that was taken over, and somebody like John Trudeau was very, very young and doing a radio show from there. And so do we have anything like that in Minnesota or Wisconsin where if the federal land is abandoned, that we could take it over? I really don't know, so I thought I'd ask you, or maybe you don't know.
And I really don't. It's not, I'm not a lawyer. It's not my area of expertise. We have seen some really, really positive instances of land back recently here in Minnesota, which is exciting. And in my day job, you know, I get to work on some similar issues right here in Minneapolis, and about how we can recognize sort of native rights to particular places, to land here, to our land, even if there isn't technical sovereignty. And I'm involved in a super interesting project down by St. Anthony Falls and Spirit Island, trying to figure out what that looks like. And it's not radical activism. As a matter of fact, it's arduous and time-consuming and sometimes a little painful. But I think we can figure it out. And I feel like if we can figure it out here, can we transfer that to other areas, not just in the Twin Cities, where there's plenty of opportunities to do this, but statewide or even nationally?
Yeah, wow. That's really exciting, and to have you there and to speak up in regards to native land back, really, right?
Yeah, that's really what it is. And again, going into those spaces that aren't used to hearing the truth-telling, like Representative Keeler was doing in your film clip, but need to hear that, right? And
yeah.
And again, I just feel so privileged to be in those spaces.
Well, and then, you know, your good friend and Lieutenant Governor is going to be sending us... starting this week, she sent us a nice little segment talking about what's going on. She speaks about coming into a gallery that isn't made for her and wasn't made for our people. And she used to speak about that a lot and still does once in a while because I see her around a lot. That's got to weigh heavy emotionally and physically on her.
I'm sure it does. And, you know, before she was our lieutenant governor, our whiter sister, Peggy Flanagan, was a legislator as well at the state capitol. And so you walk in and you see all these depictions of the indigenous people here and these depictions of colonizers taking land, desecrating land. I mean, those are meant to send a message, right? Those are meant to make Native people feel bad about themselves, about their histories, about their cultures. And so just stepping into that space is already an oppressive action, right? And then sort of to rise above that and to point that out and to do that kind of truth-telling in those spaces takes a lot of strength.
You know, I don't know if a lot of people listening, especially in Wisconsin, know about our state flag, but that's a really interesting, you know, where you're talking, I was thinking about that. That's a really interesting little cartoon or I don't know how you'd put it, a little graphic there of a farmer that probably stole the land, has a rifle right. on a stump or a tree stump and a wild Indian in the background.
Right, right. And that kind of imagery just pervades, you know, the city of Minneapolis, SEAL, and others. And that was an acknowledgement, right, by our forebears here that they knew what they were doing. They knew they were stealing land. They knew they were oppressing and eliminating people. They put it right into sort of official symbolism. And so when we talk to people today and, you know, you'll often hear, well, that wasn't me. You know, that was years ago. I didn't do any of that.
Right.
You can point to these little like breadcrumbs back to their forebears who did it.
Right.
Point out to them that this was very intentional.
Well, we talk about the removal of the Ho-Chunk. We don't talk about it a lot here, but the removal of the Ho-Chunk out of Minnesota and all the lands that was taken and stolen. The crops were already halfway, grown and, what we like to call European Americans as opposed to Native Americans. They just took over the land and took over the crops and said, see you later. And a big thing coming, with the Knights of the Forest, which are the precursor of the Klan, that removed the Ho-Chunk people here out of Minnesota right after the Sioux Uprising.
Right. A very, very much an untold story, right? I would say a lot of Native people in the state, but certainly non-Native people, have no clue about that dark part of our history here, or a clue about many of the tribes of this land home. And most folks, or many folks now, know that this was Dakota land, that the Ojibwe are a prominent presence here in Minnesota, but Ho-Chunk and other tribes and traditions aren't even talked about here.
Right. I always say too, people under 40 don't know the story. I think people over 40 do know that Ho-Chunk have been here for 10,000 years and there was no state lines, and we were all over the place, and we have a history in Illinois and Iowa and the Dakotas too. We were all over the place.
Right, as were so many Native people, right? And I was just thinking about this earlier today, Robert, about how much the system of colonization relies on what's not said, right, and what's not discussed. And so, perfect example here, I was reading an article in New York Times about a new grisly discovery in Canada about more graves of residential school children, and the whole article, not one reference to the same thing happening in this country.
Wow. Hey, Robert, stay with us, would you, for the last segment here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm with Robert Lilligren and Native American Community Development Institute and a lot of other things. Great to talk. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Woo-hoo. Snarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl.
Howl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I don't know. I'm here with, welcome back. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, and I'm going, every time I hear that, I think we have to, if Wendy was in a union, we'd have to pay her each time for being on. She's got that little, yeah, it's great. You know, in thinking of a Wendy too, she always would send me a note when we were talking, and or if I'm talking to Dr. Stately or anything, is to ask them what they want to talk about. So what I'm going to do in memory of my wife is is ask Robert, what would you like to talk about here in this last segment?
Well, I appreciate that, Robert. Thank you. And just to acknowledge, Wendy's still here, right? It's not a memorial or anything like that.
She's in New York, and she was on yesterday.
Yeah. And I've been following your travels, so on social media. And, you know, I enjoy the directions our conversations take, as I'm sure they sound to your listeners. They're very spontaneous conversations, and that's just fine. And so the one thing I kind of prepped up a little is what's happening more on the federal level. It's just been drawing my attention. You know, there's so much going on here in Minnesota at our Capitol. It's very dynamic. Our legislature is in session. We have, for the first time in a decade, a democratically controlled Senate, House, and governor's office. So lots of hope there, right? And I'm not in it, but I'm close enough to what's going on at the Capitol to see how dynamic it is. And so I've been really shifting to watching what's going on at the federal level. And it's so fascinating with the new Republican majority in Congress and the House, and how they're sort of preparing themselves. You know, they're going to have their first big test, I think, their first big test in the debt ceiling, right? We've just hit our debt ceiling in this country, and something's going to need to happen, you know. And so kind of watching that play out. And then, of course, another is in the whatever Speaker McCarthy did to get that speakership, to get the gavel, right? And so now we're starting to see some of his deals that he made percolate up with an oversight committee, you know, which is just crazy. And so that's kind of what's been drawing my attention lately.
He has no power, and it just proved that for 15 votes. I don't know how many days that was, a week. And so he's put people in these committees that should be, you know, they shouldn't be in the committee, because what they're studying is what these people did.
right, exactly, yeah. Especially the Oversight Committee, right? That's become kind of the QAnon committee, with people like Representative Bobart and Taylor Greene and others, and people who should not be overseeing the intricacies of our democracy, but they are. They're empowered, and you're exactly right. They've disempowered the speaker. And so I was reading some analysis, several actually, that said the White House is actually kind of happy about that, although House Democrats are kind of freaked. But it's just going to be so much easier to discredit their work when they have such extremists running the committee.
You know, I got to bring up too, Robert, if you're talking national too, I really feel like, you know, I got to tell you the story really quick, because we only have a few minutes in the last segment here. So I went out to breakfast in New York in Long Beach, Long Island, very red area. And Wendy, you know, sleeps till noon. So I was up early taking a walk. And I went into this diner that had Fox on there. And I'm just, you know, I'm going, oh, what the heck? Let's just see what's happening here. And it was blaring into this diner. And this one gentleman said to me, it's because it was when Biden's, you know, the records and the classified records were at his places, and he didn't say anything in the press conference, and he was all upset. And I said, well, these guys told on themselves. The other guy didn't want to give it back. I mean, there's a big difference.
He bought it. He bought it every step of the way, right? Whereas, you know, Biden's been, there's really very little comparison. They'll make every comparison possible, but you're exactly right. And sort of the numbers of documents and in the procedures and the handling of them, it's so different. One represents maybe negligence, which isn't good, by President Biden, but the other represents true malfeasance.
Exactly. And then we get, and then being out east again, all this going on, you know, Long Beach is in Long Island. So we have this new representative that we don't know who he is. I guess it's funny, but it's not funny.
I can't look away from that, Robert. I wish I could. It's become kind of a guilty pleasure just watching every detail of the George Santos, if that's indeed his real name, right. The George Santos story unfold. And it's like a guilty pleasure of mine. And it just gets get better and better. You know, now there's this drag, history of performing in drag. There's the hideous story of how he robbed a disabled vet, a homeless disabled vet, of money to save the vet's service dog's life. I mean, it's just gruesome. It's only in America, right? Only in America.
And he's kind of a young dude. He has done a lot of lying for being such a young person.
Yeah, he is pathological, clearly. And he just amazes me. I'm sure you've seen the clip where he's at a January 6th Stop the Steal rally, you know, speaking about how his first election was stolen from him, just like Trump's, you know. And the big joke is he's wearing it looks like a Brooks Brothers scarf that he stole from his roommate. His roommate has come forward. I mean, it's stuff like that. It's so bad. I can't look away. It's like watching a slow motion train wreck or something.
You know, they showed a couple, I don't know what I was watching, but they had the roommate on a couple networks.
Oh, yeah.
MSNBC, and the poor guy looks like he's still going through trauma with him being a roommate.
No doubt, you know, and I'm sure everyone has experienced people like that, right? Sort of pathological liars who have no basis in truth and, you know, just kind of get by. But to see someone rise to that level of power and, you know, be willingly supported and protected so far by Republican leadership in the House, it's shameful for sure, but it's just shocking.
Well, and you know, being out east during some of this, you know, each Republican lawmaker in Long Beach is saying, you need to quit. You need to correct.
I do give the local Republicans credit. They are standing up, and then several of other Republican Congress people from New York and Democrats for sure. But it's the leadership, right? They put them on committees. You know, he's got two committee assignments. It's like, as an American, I don't want that guy anywhere near legislating for our country, you know? And at some point, where do you take a stand? I mean, you can kind of elevate it up to the presidential race, right? As we're off on the 2024 campaign season. You know, when do you take a stand against Trump? You know, you've had every opportunity since he lost his election. When do we actually say no more?
Yeah, and you know, the governor down in Florida is no, you know, I wouldn't want him running for president either. I mean, he's just like slashing and changing history as he goes with the books and the colleges. Nobody's going to want to go down to Florida for college.
We don't. My husband and I don't go to Florida anymore. We have relatives there. We have every opportunity to go. We have made the determination we're not going there. We're not spending our money. We're not supporting the state economy. And now DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, is going after trans people, transgender college students in an aggressive way. How does that serve the people? How? And so I like that DeSantis is kind of coming out as a front runner, because those front runners always crash and burn. So it'll be good to see if that happens.
But, wow.
This next presidential election cycle is going to be huge.
Right on. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for being on, and really great. Always fun having a conversation, and really a meaningful conversation, and I really enjoy this, and I know our audience does. All I have to say is free Leonard Peltier now.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.